Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. Once again this morning, we'll be talking with a candidate who will be in the election next week now. We've tried to put together a list of candidates in contested races within our coverage area to give listeners the opportunity to hear the candidate, but also talk with them, call in and ask questions about whatever it is that they think is important. And this morning, we have with us another candidate who is running for the Illinois House in the 103rd District, which essentially is the city of Urbana, most of Champaign, except for maybe the southwestern, a little bit of the southwestern part, and a little bit of Savoy is also in the district as well. Currently represented by Democrat Naomi Jacobson, who is up for re-election. She will be here on the program, by the way, on Friday. There is a Republican candidate in the race. His name is Rex Bradfield. He was on the show last week. That is on our website, if you would like to hear it. And this morning, in this hour, we'll be talking with a candidate of the Green Party. His name is Tom Abram. He is a graduate of the University of Illinois, has a degree in electrical engineering, and now works as a research engineer in the Smart Energy Design Assistance Center, which is part of the Building Research Council, which is part of the Department of Architecture. He's been also now for several years working with the Green Party, and we're really pleased that he could be here and spend a little time with us. As I've said, this is the idea here really is that people who are listening can call in if there's some particular issue that's very important to you. You want to know how the candidate stands, what he would do if he was elected. Give us a call. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, David.
Maybe you might talk for a little bit generally about the Green Party. And I think maybe there are some people who will be unfamiliar with the Green Party, not really sure what it's about, other than clearly there is an association between the Green Party and environmental issues. Give us the thumbnail sketch, and then as we talk, we can talk about things in more detail.
Well, as you mentioned, the Green Party definitely has roots in the environmental movement. It started in Germany and has spread throughout the world and reached the U.S. The Illinois Green Party has been around for 7 years. We have our four major platform ideals. I guess the four major values are social justice, nonviolence, grassroots democracy, and nonviolence.
I think you mentioned that one.
Ecological wisdom. I'm sorry. It's the environmental thing. It's so obvious to many of us that that's our major issue, but I guess it's overlooked. But
sure.
Yeah, and so we've run local candidates here for several years, county board candidates. We're doing it again this year. This is the first time that a Green's running for state representative in this district. We have several others across the state, and first time ever, a statewide slate, including Rich Whitney for governor, who's doing very well in the polls for a third-party candidate. One of the things that we like to distinguish ourselves from the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, we take absolutely no corporate contributions. We feel that the corporate influence in American politics is very damaging and corrosive to the political landscape. So by setting an example, we take no corporate contributions. We hope others follow.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one other real basic question. And the way the legislature is structured makes it very difficult for individual members to have much influence, unless perhaps they have a lot of seniority. The power is really concentrated in the hands of the governor and the legislative leaders. So that makes it difficult for if you're a Republican or a Democrat, that would make it difficult. It seems that it would make it even more difficult for someone who is coming from a third party because within the existing structure, you don't have any kind of power base to draw on at all. I mean, how would you as a member of the Green Party, one of the few, maybe one of the, if you were elected, you might be the only Green in the entire General Assembly. How would you go about trying to advance the kind of agenda that you've talked about?
Well, first of all, one of the things we're trying to break down is the traditional, I guess, power base struggles that we're seeing, where a lot of it is just the Democrats versus the Republicans trying to knock each other down, trying to just gain power for the sake of power. So I try to discuss the issues. One of my major concerns is education funding reform. We've been talking about it for years. We haven't done anything about it. Right now, the current representative doesn't support it. So if elected, you'd replace somebody who doesn't support reform with somebody who does. Hopefully I'd join a coalition of Republicans and Democrats who are also very concerned about that. Current Republican Senator Rick Winkle supported education funding reform. We have Democrats from Chicago. So I think I'd I'd be forming a lot of coalitions with Democrats and Republicans, trying to get issues solved, trying to solve some problems. One other thing that would make me unique, being a minority representative, I'd be looking out for the interests of the people of this district. I wouldn't be immersed in these power struggles. I wouldn't have any corporate influence. I wouldn't have any major party influence. So I'd definitely be able to objectively look out for the interests of the people of District 103.
Hmm. Well, we come back to some of these issues, but we have some callers. So rather than make them wait, let's go right to them and give them the chance to talk with you. So far, we have three people ready to go. They're all in Champaign, so we'll just take them in the order that they came in, starting with line one. Hello.
Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead. Line one.
Yes, my name is Kostas, and I'm calling from Champaign. And I visited many public schools in Illinois. I mentor at Dr. Howard Elementary here in Champaign. And one of the things that astounds me is the stark difference in the condition of the buildings, in the availability of resources. And one of Tom Abrams' opponents, Naomi Jacobson, is opposed to education forming reform that would offer our children the same educational opportunities. So I would like to ask what his thoughts are on education reform, whether he supports House Bill 750. That's it.
Okay. And I assume you're talking about the funding issue, about where the money comes from.
Exactly. Inequality in funding.
All right. Well, let's talk about that.
Well, actually, education funding equality is probably one of the biggest issues that I'm running on. We have the most disparate state in the nation in terms of equality in education. We have schools that have funding of a little bit over $5,000 per student all the way up to $23,000 per student. We rely so heavily on property taxes that we see vast disparities in the education opportunities for our children. So I support something like House Bill 750 or a reform that was that tried to get passed in the General Assembly. It did not pass. So I would support doing that. It would shift education funding away from property taxes and towards income tax, coupled with a small progressive tax increase, coupled with property tax abatements. And 60% of those in Illinois wouldn't be affected by this. Their net income tax wouldn't be increased. And I guess another concern that's coupled with education funding and the inequalities in that is the inequalities of our taxing system. We have one of the most regressive tax systems in the nation. The bottom 20% pay about 13.1% of their income to state and local taxes. The top 1% pay 4.6%. And this is another problem that wouldn't be fixed, but it would be a start by passing something like House Bill 750. I think we need to do something about both of these issues, and I definitely support taking some action.
Okay.
Thanks. This is one of those issues that seems never to go away. As far as I can remember, over the last few election cycles, every candidate that I've had in here has said essentially the same thing. Has said that they believe that it would be a good idea to move away from this reliance on the property tax to fund schools and do something else, probably, as you suggest, some kind of income tax increase and then some kind of offset so that most people at least would not end up paying overall more taxes.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, as far as I can remember, everybody has said, yes, that's a great idea. I'm for that. And we have had panels that have been convened to study education funding who have made the same kind of recommendation. So it's everybody seems to be for it, but also as long as I can remember in the General Assembly, this is a non-starter. There isn't enough support even to get it to the floor mm-hmm. for a vote. I mean, how do you overcome that kind of opposition, particularly opposition? It seems in the past, again, the big roadblock has been Republicans in the collar counties, people in Cook County and the city of Chicago, they think it's great. Downstate, they think it's great. Those folks, they don't. And they've had enough influence so that it has never even come up for a serious discussion.
Well, one person who will be on your program that does not support this is Representative Jacobson, who will be in on Friday. I'm sure she'll be asked the same question or have to talk about education, where she wants to fund it from. With a week left in the election, she doesn't support this. She doesn't support expansion of gambling or selling the lottery. So I'm kind of unsure where she's getting her money from. And so I think one thing we can do is replace those that do not support education funding reform with those that do. And not just in the General Assembly. Governor Blagojevich has said that he would veto any tax swap or House Bill 750, any of these type of proposals. So we could replace him with somebody who would be willing to do that. Rich Whitney, Green Party candidate for governor, supports doing that. He's an avid supporter of House Bill 750 and the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability who created this bill. And I think we would need a leader who would be willing to at least discuss this issue. And again, there has been a lot of opposition from the collar counties. I think we need to show them just how dire the circumstances are and try to convince them that this needs to be acted upon.
All right. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, Naomi Jacobson, who is the current representative here in the 103rd, will be on this program on Friday so that she will have the opportunity to tell us what indeed she does think about the issue. And other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Let's go next to line number two in Champaign. Hello.
How's it going, Tom? My name's Tim. I'm from Champaign. I just graduated from the University of Illinois, just like you did. And I kind of see myself in the same situation as you. I think we're both from out of town, and we're both kind of trying to work here for a few years and make ourselves into something. And I was just wondering, you know, I don't pay mortgages, I don't raise any children or make car payments. How do you plan to gain the trust of Illinois taxpayers to manage a $55 billion budget when you haven't barely paid any taxes in your life?
Well, again, I wouldn't necessarily be managing this budget myself. And as Dave mentioned, a lot of this is going on with a few key members of the legislature that actually work on the budget and are allowed to. And so actually right now the culture is pretty closed to suggestion, and I think that does need to be changed. But, you know, I would go to the community, to people who have had experience with this, talk to the university, talk to other groups of people who are interested in the budget, who would, you know, give me some suggestion on what to do, what they think is in the best interest of the people. For example, I could go back to the State University Annuities Association, ask them if diverting the pension funds is a good idea or not. And with that, I would have a pretty good idea of what to do. And, you know, I understand your concern, but I think with the type of experience we have right now in Springfield, we have budget problems. We have problems with our pensions. So I think it's time to get a new type of experience, try to get a new voice in Springfield.
I think what I'm really concerned about is, like, I mean, how many people do you even know in the area? Because, I mean, I just graduated from U of O. I really don't know too many people. I mean, I know the professors that I had when I went here, and, you know, that's probably a count of 20. So I guess how much influence do you have in this area, really?
Well, you know, as I've been campaigning for months and months, I've talked to a lot of people in many different organizations. I've gone to a lot of these forums, met with some of these organizations individually just to talk with them about the issues. So, again, you know, I don't think this is about influence. This is about representation. So I'd go back to these same people, build new ties.
Well, I mean, how well do you represent this area when you're not even from here, I guess?
Well, you know, I've lived here for the past 5 years while at the university.
But I don't represent this area at all.
Well, if I'm elected, if I get enough votes to be elected, then I think that means that I'm representing this area, that people want me to represent them. And if they don't think that I would represent them well, then it'll show in the polls, and I'll be happy with that.
All right.
So I don't want to be accused of age discrimination, but the fact that you were a young guy, you did not grow up in Central Illinois, haven't lived here a long time. You don't believe that that's some sort of a disadvantage that you might carry with you into Springfield if you were elected.
Well, I can see it as being somewhat of a disadvantage. I'm not going to argue with that. Although I think there are a lot of advantages that I would bring, bringing a new voice, youth representation, trying to actually make a noticeable impact in Springfield. I think there might be a disadvantage for me not actually having grown up here. But again, I think there are some advantages that outweigh that.
All right. Well, let's take another caller. The next person in line is also in Champaign, line three.
Hi. My name's Emily, and I'm from Champaign. I was just wondering if you were taking money from the Republicans, like that Green candidate from Pennsylvania, who got like 99% of his funding from the Republicans. And, I mean, don't you think the Greens are spoilers and basically end up helping the Republicans?
Well, and I guess in response to the funding question, nobody that I've taken money from I know of is an actual Republican. And, you know, the Pennsylvania situation is interesting. You know, I would not have done what Carlo Romanelli did to get on the ballot, but I understand his situation. He needed to get about 67,000 signatures to get on the ballot. He ended up with 100,000. He did take a lot of he did take some Republican money. But, you know, Bob Casey, who was running against him, took even more Republican money. He took corporate money from known Republicans, way more than Carlo Romanelli. So I think maybe it just means that people are upholding Greens to a higher standard, and they kind of expect this from Democrats. Also, and I guess in regards to the spoiler question, I don't think Greens are a spoiler. This is a Democratic system. We're on the ballot. If you're interested in voting for us, vote for us. If there are Democrats who are running who adequately represent the views of the district, who are strong reformers, who are not taking corporate contributions, like there are some of them in the area, and you know, they might do very well, and people might not bother voting for Greens. But if there are Democrats who are continuing to toe the line to get closer and closer to the Republicans, well, it's going to show in the polls. People are going to vote for Greens. And what's interesting in the gubernatorial race, Rich Whitney is drawing pretty equally from known Democrats and known Republicans. And actually, the among independents, it's split in thirds between Topinka, Blagojevich, and Whitney. So we're not necessarily just drawing from the Democrats. We're drawing from independents, people who are fed up with the Republican Party as well, people who just want us to do something about the issues. And one thing the Democrats can do to stop the spoiler argument, enact electoral reforms like instant runoff voting, which will allow third-party candidates to be involved in the process, more voices to be involved in the process. I don't think the views of the American people or the people of Illinois are adequately represented by two political parties. I think it's naive to think they are. And by enacting these electoral reforms, we can do a lot to provide a more viable democracy. Check out fairvote.org. It has a lot of information about different alternative voting methods like instant runoff voting and proportional representation, which we had in Illinois a few decades ago.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk with someone else. We have some Urbana callers. Next is line number one. Hello.
Hello. How many votes do you expect Greens to take from progressive Democrats, and do you think the Greens will spoil any elections for Democrats?
Well, that's essentially the same question we were asked by the last caller. Again, if you want to talk about that, I suppose the theory would be that if you were undecided and you were a Democrat, you would and you didn't want to vote for the Democratic candidate, you would be more likely to vote for the Green than you would be for the Republican, thus taking support away from the Democrat. And some people would say, in fact, in the 103rd, it's not impossible that enough Democrats voted for you that the Republican could be elected.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to point out to the past election result. In 2004, Naomi Jacobson won by a landslide against the Republican Deborah Frank Finan, who was a strong Republican supported by her party. The split was somewhere around 60 to 30, by off by a few points or so. There's a socialist in there as well. So, again, I don't really see in this particular circumstance enough Democratic votes going to the Republican and myself to spoil it towards the Republican. And again, I wouldn't necessarily consider Naomi a strong progressive, at least from what has been from what I've observed in the General Assembly. So, you know, there are some concerns, and I think the best way to address them, enact electoral reforms. And the concept that Democrats own votes is somewhat condescending to the voters to think that their votes are owned, not that their votes are owned, not earned.
Okay, let's go to line another caller here. This would be line number three in Urbana. Hello.
Do you feel like you elected President Bush? Because I feel like the Green Party elected President Bush and put us in the Iraq War.
All right, I just have one question for you. Who do you think won the election in 2000, Bush or Gore?
I feel like Gore. I'm not sure. I just know that with Ralph Nader involved, it tipped into Bush's hands.
Well, who do you think really won that election with all, you know, the allegations of fraud, disenfranchising African-American voters, the judicial presence in the election? Do you think Gore actually really won that election?
Don't you feel like the votes were taken away from the Democratic side with Nader in as spoiler, and now that has put us in Iraq war?
Absolutely not, for several reasons. First of all, I think Gore won the election. I don't know. If you don't want to answer it, that's fine. But I think Gore won. There was mass disenfranchisement of the African-American voters. The Supreme Court actually decided the election instead of allowing it to go to a recount. If Ralph Nader wasn't in there, maybe they would have to steal more votes. Maybe they'd have to work a little harder to take that election. But I do not think Ralph Nader was the reason that Bush was in there. More Democrats voted for Bush than people voted for Nader. So if Gore ran a stronger campaign, if he won his own state, then maybe he'd be in the White House. And talking about the Iraq war, we might not have been in there if Democrats didn't vote for the war. Several prominent Democrats voted for allowing the deployment of troops to Iraq, including our own Governor Rod Blagojevich. While in Congress, he voted for the war. So I think it's kind of misleading to think that Democrats were not complicit in this.
We are at our midpoint here. We'll get some more callers in a moment. Let me introduce again our guest, Tom Abram. He is a candidate of the Green Party for the Illinois State House in the 103rd District. This is, again, the district is essentially, it's the city of Urbana, most of Champaign, a little bit of Savoy. Naomi Jacobson now represents the district. She will be on this program on Friday. She's Democrat, so you'll have the opportunity to talk with her and hear from her. Last week, the Republican candidate in the 103rd was here, Rex Bradfield. That's on our website if you want to go back and listen to it. And here, of course, questions are welcome. Our guest, Tom Abram, works here for the University of Illinois in the architecture department. His background is in engineering. He has a degree in electrical engineering from the University of Illinois and works in a program at the Building Research Council where they work with, I think, is it mostly small business people who are interested in making their businesses energy efficient, their buildings
That's
energy
correct.
Efficient. Okay. Questions are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Next, Urbana Line 2. Hello.
Hi, my name is Melissa, and I was just wondering why you didn't file your D-2 until yesterday.
First of all, I don't think that was my D-2 that was filed yesterday. That was the local Prairie Greens Association. They filed yesterday because they just reached $3,000. In order to be required to file that paperwork, you must have raised $3,000. I didn't file mine yet. I just reached that limit yesterday, I believe it was, so I'll be filing any time now.
Well, I've, seen your yard signs around, so, how do you not have $3,000?
If you want, I could go over all my receipts, but I absolutely just hit $3,000, so you'll see that in the disclosure. And as you can see, we haven't been sending out very many mailings like the Democrats and many of the other traditional campaigns. So we're running on a very shoestring budget. If you could go on the website, see how much yard signs are worth. It is possible to run a campaign with less than $3,000 or so. And if we win with being outspent by so much, and if green candidates can win with such small resources, imagine what we could do for the state government.
So just to be clear in here, that until just now, your campaign fund has consisted of not more than $3,000?
Yeah, I just received a check the other day for, that just put me right over $3,000.
So where has most of this money come from?
Individuals. All of it's come from individuals within the district and some family and friends also. Absolutely all of it is from individuals, and I have not received any money from corporations, from PACs. So it's a completely grassroots-driven effort.
And has the Green Party on any level given you money?
I haven't received any money directly from the Green Party. We have three local county board candidates, and so some of the summer advertising has been used towards a coordinated campaign efforts that have been paid for by the local or state organization.
All right. Champaign next, line one. Hello. Is there a caller there in Champaign on line one? Okay, we'll go next to line three. This is Urbana. Hello.
Hello, Tom. My name's Donald. I'm a farmer out in Urbana, and I was just wondering how exactly do you expect to represent populations in our area, like the farmers and people who are more community members, when you've only really experienced the university system? society.
I think the caller should actually start listening to the show just to make sure they're not asking questions that have already been asked. But that's okay.
Yeah,
I also get this feeling that a lot of Democrats here locally don't really aren't really excited about your being on the ballot.
No. Well, you know, maybe the Jacobson campaign should have sent more than two or three questions out to her supporters to call in, or maybe they should have coordinated better. So maybe, you know, Mary will talk about this issue, and whoever will talk about the other ones. But sure, I'll take a stab at this one again. You know, I, first of all, Representative Jacobson isn't a farmer either, so I guess you could, you know, criticize her for not considering farm issues and not being a farmer. But, you know, I've been talking with the community. I've been active in community efforts for the last 5 years. I haven't just been stuck in the university on campus. I've worked with several community groups, talked with people in the community. And again, I think I could represent this community. And if enough people agree, they'll vote me in. And I will represent this community. So I think if the people are satisfied, if they think that I can do it, then sure, they'll vote me in.
Let's go to Champaign, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Would you support the budget with U of I's increase?
I'd absolutely support budgets that would increase the university funding. In 5 out of the last 6 years, the university's funding has either been cut or flat. Last year, we got a pretty paltry 1.8% increase. I think that's about roughly half the cost of inflation. So I think we need to do better than that. I mean, the last 6 years, we've been taking a de facto cut when you adjust to today's dollars. So I support increasing the funding to the university. House Bill 750, which I support, primarily deals with K through 12 education. However, there are some measures involved in that which would increase university funding. It would increase state university funding, I think, somewhere between $300 to $400 million per year.
Hmm. This is something that, again, every candidate who comes here, if you have a university in your district, obviously you're going to say, I support mm-hmm. more funding for the university. The question, though, really is how do you do that? How do you make sure that among all of the people who are there in Springfield who are looking for state dollars for whatever purpose, that your voice gets heard so that that actually does indeed translate into greater funding for the university?
Well, first of all, I have to ask for it. I have to demand the increases that the university needs. Representative Jacobson claims she sat down with Blagojevich and some other top members of the General Assembly and demanded to get this 1.8% increase, demanded the $12 million a year. So first of all, I'm going to be asking for a whole lot more than that. And, you know, I'll be talking with them. I'll be screaming at the top of my lungs, asking for money for the university. And if I become a swing vote, being a green candidate, not being with either of the political parties, that actually may give me some leverage, saying, well, I'll vote, you know, I'll help you out. I'll let this budget go through if we add some more money to the university. I think this is a flagship institution. We need to provide more funding. A study that was just released by the Illinois State University said that tuition continues to increase and is making it very difficult for low-income and even middle-income families to pay for college. A lot of them aren't going to their college of choice, which in a lot of cases is, well, the University of Illinois. It's a prime university. And they're left going to community colleges and other colleges that weren't necessarily their first choice, even though they were extremely bright and capable of going to the university.
Next, we have several callers here in line in Urbana, starting with line one. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I have some questions about election reform, but there's been so much Green Party bashing, I'd like to make a point. If the Democrats and Republicans would enact instant runoff, they would no longer have to worry about spoilers. Would you comment on other election reforms and whether or not you favor them? Proportional representation, campaign contribution reform, and possibly state funding or governmental funding of elections. There are several states that are doing this now.
Yeah, well, I absolutely support some strong electoral reforms. I think in races where you're only electing one person, we should be looking at instant runoff voting to adequately represent the people's interest and adequately represent who they're trying to elect. Also, I'm definitely interested in proportional representation. Europe's been using it for years in some of their parliamentary systems. We had it in Illinois before, I think it was 1980, when the current Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn led an effort to abolish that system. So I support going back to proportional representation. In terms of, besides how we elect our officials, I think we do need some strong campaign finance reform. Most of the money in our elections are coming from corporate interests or other big business and large organizations. And also, we're seeing problems on the state level with contributions and contracts. I think if you were a state, if you're awarded a state contract, you should not be allowed to give corporate contributions to a candidate. If you give contributions to a candidate, you should not be allowed to get a contract. This is something that I think the people of Illinois support. Hopefully, the people. I'm not sure if the General Assembly does, because that would cut down their funding by quite a bit for their campaigns. But ideally, I think we should ban corporate contributions. They can't vote, so they shouldn't be involved in our elections. And were there any other questions?
Yes. It seems to me one of the major flaws in our election laws is the fact that third parties, or parties that haven't had heavy representation in the past, have to raise, acquire a great many more signatures on their petitions than do the two major parties.
Yeah, that's very true. For my race, we needed about 2,300 signatures. We got 4,300. The Democrats only needed to get 500, same with the Republicans. So, you know, we definitely could go a long way to make the playing field more level, bring it down to the level of the Republicans and Democrats. Greens and other third parties already have a difficult time getting signatures. And, you know, I think it should be equal, whether people want Greens, Democrats, independent libertarians on the ballot. We should have an equal playing field. So I definitely support doing that. Actually, after November 7th, the Green Party probably will be an established party in Illinois after Rich Whitney gets above 5%. So our signature requirements are already going to be lowered, but that's not going to stop us from pushing it to allow access to the other third parties.
Well, as a Democrat, I wish you great success.
Well, thank you.
Right, thanks for the call. Just to make sure people understand the idea of instant runoff voting, and I think it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure if it ever could be instituted, but interesting idea. And I understand it's sort of like this. Say you've got three candidates in the race. You really like candidate A. You really want to vote for candidate A. You can say, all right, I'm going to vote for candidate A. But if candidate A doesn't get enough votes to win, then I get a second choice. I can say, okay, well, then my second choice would be candidate B. So if candidate A doesn't get enough votes, then your vote automatically goes to the second person you've chosen. So then that the argument is that way you can actually vote your conscience if that's what you want. But if you don't want to be a spoiler, or, you know, there's the third candidate, you say, absolutely, I don't want that person at all, then you can say, I really like candidate A, even if I think he can't win, but I want to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And then you can cast that second vote.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you pretty much explained the system and explained the goal of the system. So you'd rank your choices, you know, if you want the Green first, then maybe the Libertarian, then the Democrat, then the Republican. Let's say the Green, you know, out of the four candidates, the Green's got the smallest percentage, you know, not necessarily the way I'd like it to happen, but let's say it happens. Then, you know, anybody who voted for the Green, their votes would go down to their next. So then in that case, my choice would be Libertarian second. And if the Libertarian is able to, you know, get enough to win, then he wins. And I think it depends. There are different instant runoff voting methods, but I think a lot of it's a simple majority, 51%. So this would be a way to allow people to express who they really want to win without having to worry about these politics of fear, voting against people rather than for people.
Yeah. Is there any place where they do this?
There are a few places where they do this. You know, what's interesting, a lot of there are some Republican organizations, I don't remember if it's the National Republican Party or the state Republican parties, that actually use instant runoff voting in their internal elections. The Green Party uses instant runoff voting on the national level. I'm an alternate delegate, so I get to deal with that when when we're electing some of our representatives. And I think British Columbia uses some of it as well.
We have about, say, 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Our guest is Tom Abram. He is candidate of the Green Party for the Illinois House in the 103rd Legislative District. Questions are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Next is Line 3, Urbana. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I have a question for Tom. Mm-hmm. Since you don't have much work experience, what was your GPA in college?
I think it was 3.93, if you're that interested, but I don't think it's necessarily applicable to this situation.
What do you don't think your work experience is applicable? Is that since
no,
you don't
my
have
GPA.
Any real work experience? Okay, well, what's your real work experience besides the one job you've had at the University of Illinois?
Okay, that's Liz Brown, campaign manager for Naomi Jacobson, everybody. Well, my work experience has been working at the university. I've also worked at Motorola for an internship and a few other temp jobs. So fine, we're really talking about what the people want to, who they want to represent them. If they want somebody who's willing to bring new ideas to the table, trying to get some stuff solved, like education funding reform, like electoral reform, then vote me in. If you want to continue the status quo, send Naomi Jacobson back to Springfield.
Let's go to Urbana Line 2. Hello.
I apologize if this question was asked before. I've been listening for about 20 minutes, but not the whole show.
Okay.
It's about House Bill 750. And I think I heard you say, Tom, in a different context, that this bill provided for a heavier tax burden for high income, which puzzled me because the state constitution mandates flat tax. So I've actually looked at 750, and it doesn't seem to do that. What it does is it raises the flat tax from income tax from 3% to 5%, which is going to hit harder on lower income people than high income people. It provides for property tax relief, but it provides for property tax relief proportional in each district to the property tax that that district paid prior to the enactment of this. So most of the property tax relief is going to go back to wealthier districts, not to poor districts. It does raise the foundation level, and that part is progressive, but every other part of it seems to me very regressive. I don't know how you can say that it makes things more equitable.
Well, there's one other part of the package that has been left out in that description. Now, there are several different tax swap bills, so some of them do different things. Some of them leave out some of the different aspects. But House Bill 750 also provides tax credits to families. It's an earned income tax credit. You know, you're right that the Constitution requires a flat tax, and this would still stay within the boundaries of the Constitution. We would be providing a tax credit to those, I think it's for earning below $47,000 a year, and essentially canceling out the flat tax that was raised on them. And those who, lower-income peoples who see no income tax increase may also see property tax abatements, which will actually lower their tax burden.
Does that get at your question? You want to follow up?
No, you know, this is I think I'll let it go at that. So except just to reiterate the point, the property tax relief is targeted for areas that have high property taxes in the first place. That's absolutely in there. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll go. Did you want to?
Oh, just
respond.
I think the progressive aspect of it is that it does provide these earned income tax credits to those earning below $47,000. It would have a net progressive impact.
Let's go again. We'll go to Champaign Line 1 for the next caller. Hello.
Yes, am I on air?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I had a question for the candidate. I've worked as a union member all my life. I work in the private sector, and I wanted to ask the candidate what his views were on Naomi Jacobson's participation in raiding the pension fund for the state of Illinois workers, anyone from public teachers to U of I employees.
Okay, well, I'm also a member of my local union, the Association of Academic Professionals, and I'm very concerned about what's happened with the pensioner aides. Jacobson won't call them pensioner aide. I guess they're fine, a divertment of the pension funding. But I think it was done in a very fiscally irresponsible manner to be reading the pension system. And I'm going to call it that because I think it's easier and I think it really reflects what's going on. And, you know, it's not only going to affect those who are expecting to receive these pensions, like retired like teachers, university employees, other state employees. It's going to be affecting the taxpayers. It's going to be increasing their tax burden by about $38 billion in the next 40 years. And it's really was not the right move to make. I do not think it was. I'm against the pension raids.
What should then happen now to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future?
Well, we need to ensure that our obligations are met. Funding the pension is an obligation. There's an attempt to kind of fix what happened with the Pension Preservation Act. And, trying to make it a rainy day issue. Well, this isn't a rainy day. It's an obligation. We need to make sure that our pensions are funded. Our other obligations, like education and health care, these things need to be funded as obligations, not as second thoughts.
Okay. Sorry about the feedback there, folks. My bad. I bumped the volume control from my headphones. Never done that before. 25 years. How about that? We have time for some other callers. We will continue. We'll go next to someone in Urbana. This is line number 3. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Yes, hi. Go ahead.
Well, I just got me citizenship here in America, and I just started my own construction business. And I was just wondering, how is it you can represent the small business owners in the area?
Okay, well, I have a passion for small businesses as opposed to, the kind of large transnational corporations in our state. I've been working at the University Smart Energy Design Assistance Center. I provide help to small businesses, reducing their energy consumption. So I'm already helping them in that regard. And I think when going to Springfield, I'd just be extending that work. We can provide a lot of help to small businesses and help them with their energy consumption, which is, what I'm doing here at the university. And, I've talked to a lot of small businesses while doing this work. I talked to a lot of small business owners in the community. And so I'd definitely be trying to represent their interest.
All right. Let's go to another Urbana person, line 2. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Hi. I'm a long time supporter of Representative Jacobson and supported her throughout, at least the two votes in my house. But I'm really embarrassed by what feels like a stack of almost attack calls or canned question calls today, and I'm really disappointed that in what appears to be kind of a Democratic laying out, trying to hit you at the most vulnerable areas rather than getting you to talk about the issues. So you certainly gained two votes from our house, but this isn't the way I would like for you to do it. Have you had an opportunity to talk about just the issues that you think are biggest to you, most important to you? I missed the first 5 minutes, and if you've already done that, you don't have to repeat. But that's, I'm just interested in kind of your overall views, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, okay. Sure. Thanks. And I definitely appreciate, your comments on the callers. Well, one of my biggest issues, and we did discuss this briefly, but in case anybody listening has missed it, one of my biggest issues is education funding reform. We have the most disparate education system in the nation. We have schools with funding from $5,000 to $23,000. It's because of our overreliance on property tax, basically. So I support shifting that from property tax to income tax. We've tried before. There are people in the General Assembly who support it. I suggest anyone to look at the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability's website to try to find out more information about this bill. Besides that, some of the issues that I'm concerned about, health and health care. We've seen growing healthcare costs in the state, in this country. So I support going to a single-payer universal healthcare plan. This would provide coverage to all at a cost that could be lower than our current ineffective system. basically by quantities of scale, economies of scale. We'd be reducing a lot of administration costs from the insurance companies. And I think it would be a much more effective way to keep our residents healthy. Of course, as a Green candidate, I'm very concerned about energy and the environment. Illinois is the fifth largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. I think we need to do something to try to prevent global warming, at least curb some of the effects of global warming. One thing we can do is require the utilities to provide at least a certain percentage of their generation from renewable energy. Right now we have a non-mandatory requirement, a renewable portfolio standard. It's done absolutely nothing. I think we need to provide incentives and disincentives to not comply with this program. If you look at your recent Ameren bills, you could see 0% solar, 0% wind, 0% biomass, 0% hydro. So it's not really doing anything to prod them into installing these renewable energy. I think the government needs to step in and try to get them in the right direction.
Okay. We'll try and get at least maybe one more call. This would be Urbana, line one. Hello.
Please continue speaking about environmental issues such as pollution control, extension of or expanding of state parks, in more detail. That's what I would like to hear. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think Governor Blagojevich, I think he does have a lot of flaws. I'll have to credit him for the mercury emission controls that he's been trying to enact in this state. I think it's a great step forward to try to curb our mercury emissions. Working with energy, that's definitely one of my major concerns. I think we definitely need to focus more on renewable energy, on alternate forms of fuel for transportation. We need to look at increasing the efficiency of our state's automobiles. California has raised their MPG standards. We can do the same. We also should look at alternate types of fuels. I support cellulosic ethanol, which should drastically reduce the greenhouse emissions by 80 to 90%, as opposed to corn ethanol, which reduces it 10 to 15%. Now, corn ethanol is definitely a necessary transitory fuel. We're definitely going to see a lot of it, and I think it's going to play an important part of a fuel mix. I think a mix is an important thing we need to look at. We need to have a diversity in fuel sources in order to provide more security in our energy systems. I would support expanding open space, expanding our state parks, making sure that they're protected. Governor Blagojevich has cut many, many jobs in the Department of National Resources. He stands up and talks about how he cut 13,000 jobs from the state. Now, that's not really something I'd stand up and brag about. And a lot of these jobs are frontline jobs, people working in the Department of Natural Resources. And so I'd definitely make sure that that department has more of a focus than it has in the last few years.
Okay. We'll try and get one more. And Sullivan, line four, although they're not in the 103rd District, but that's okay. They can be in there anyway. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Curiosity. I tried to call the other day. New idea I've expressed a couple times. It's on property tax and schooling. We'll say if you have $5,000 of income tax and you have $1,000 property tax, why not subtract the $1,000 property tax from the $5,000 of income tax in the middle of the state, just a check for $4,000, and do away with this insidious property tax. It's killing people out here. You know, maybe the state would help out some way. But I think that's something you could address. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, I definitely have to echo your sentiments. Not only is it affecting our schools that we're having this disparity, but it does affect property taxpayers, and that's why there's the property tax abatement in House Bill 750. I'm open to other bills, other ideas such as yours that you suggested. I haven't considered that proposal in much detail, so I'd have to look at it, but definitely I would support something along the same lines. And, you know, property taxes add to the regressive nature of our tax system. You have a farmer not necessarily bringing in very much income, but they have a lot of land. So they end up getting taxed with pretty high property taxes. Same thing with retired persons, not bringing in much of an income, but they still have a nice home maybe. I think our taxes need to be based on ability to pay, not on some of these other methods such as property taxes.
Okay, well, maybe we'll try to do one more. Ibrana, here, line one. Hello.
Hello, I'm calling from Tom's former department, and I want to respond to the comment about his education. We in electrical and computer engineering train our students to be problem solvers, and I can speak for Tom in saying that he got through an incredible amount of work every semester and did it exceedingly well, so that if we elect him to Springfield, we can expect a lot of really high-class work out of him. He can learn as he goes, I know.
Thanks.
All right. Very good. Any last thing that you would like to mention? Anything that you didn't get a chance to say that you would like to say?
Well, I think I've hit on most of my major issues, but I'd really encourage people to consider voting green this year. I think this is an excellent year to do so. A lot of the Democratic and Republican opponents aren't quite to the standards that we expect in Illinois. Or I guess maybe we're starting to expect these standards. But, you know, really, really consider voting for hope rather than for against fear, trying to vote to bring some meaningful change to Illinois. Please check out my website. It's www.tomabram.org. I have a lot of information. I lay out my issues. There's some video clips on there. There'll be a commercial up there, too, if you're interested in sponsoring, donating some money, as you know. As people have pointed out, we're kind of low on funds, so please help us out. And, you know, just check out my information. Representative Jacobson has yet to put up a website. I don't know if she's going to in the next week or so to reach out to her constituents. Again, that's how I think I can help represent my constituents, by trying to reach out towards them.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to jump in, Melania, but we're going to have to leave it at that. Our guest, Tom Abram, he is the candidate for the Illinois State House in the 103rd District of the Green Party. Other candidates in this race, the Republican Rex Bradfield was here last week. That's on our website if you want to hear it. And the incumbent Representative Democrat Naomi Jacobson will be here Friday morning at 10 o'clock, so you'll have the same chance to talk with her. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks, David, and thanks to all the listeners.